You're listening to Consider This, episode 25, for December 17, 2012.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, welcome to the last episode of Consider This for the year. I'm Doug Payton, getting ready for Christmas and for having the whole family back home. I will indeed return after we've either gone over the fiscal cliff or come up with another compromise that doesn't actually solve our real problem, spending, but instead kicks the can even further down the cliff. Because that's what big government does with big problems that it creates. Yes, and Merry Christmas to you, too. While I'm gone, all the usual avenues for giving me feedback or suggesting show topics will still be open. Call 267-CALL-CT0 to speak your mind, or email considerthis@ctpodcasting.com to write your mind. And of course, the website will still be there for show notes, a place to comment on them, and links to all the social media outlets that you can find me on. Bookmark considerthis.ctpodcasting.com and keep it handy. That's CT, as in Christmas tree. I'll be discussing whether the fiscal cliff can be avoided with tax increases. And later, the very first guest contribution on Consider This. For those of you who remember the late lamented Shire Network News podcast, I have a former member of that august group waiting in the wings. She'll be letting us know that once again it's Israeli double standard time. And for SNN fans, I've just given away who it is. That's coming up. Don't forget that you can support the podcast by coming to the website and clicking on the Amazon affiliate link before you do your shopping there. And you can support without spending a dime by leaving a rating and a comment on iTunes. There's nothing better for a podcast than getting a better ranking there, so that would be very much appreciated. With that, on we go. As the countdown to the fiscal cliff continues, tax increases seem to be the only way Democrats in Congress think that we can close the deficit gap. But Michael Barone points out that no tax increases alone will never be enough. It's not the panacea the Democrats claim it to be. He covers some ideas that I've mentioned here, like the fact that entitlement spending alone is enough to keep the deficit going. You might think tax increases are helping, but we'd just be sinking slower. No, the right direction would be to start rising and get above the water's level. Another point is that higher tax rates don't typically produce more tax revenue. From the 1940s to the 1960s, when the top marginal tax rate was 91%, tax revenues always bounce between 15 and 21% of GDP. Why? Well, because with a tax rate like that, people spend more time looking for tax shelters and other means, legal and illegal, to keep from paying those high rates. And so from 1948 until now, with economies up and down, with huge marginal tax rates and smaller ones under Republicans and Democrats, the total U.S. tax revenue taken in as a percentage of GDP has stayed remarkably consistent in this same range. There's a link in the show notes worth checking out that shows this, as well as how other things like federal debt or government expenditures have changed relative to GDP. It's really worth your time to check out. The lesson then is this: to grow the economy and restrain spending. If we're going to get the same percentage of the economy in taxes, then to get more tax revenue, you've got to grow the economy. But once you get those increased revenues, don't spend that and more on, well, another stimulus, which by the administration's own numbers grew the economy and the jobs at a slower rate than doing nothing. That's why any deal which includes higher taxes may look like a healthy compromise, but it's nothing more than a ruse that will put us further in debt. Our guest contribution is from Meryl Urish. She has a blog about writing at merylurish.com and a political blog that's been going since 2001 at urish.com. Links are in the show notes. She's a published author, having written the first book in a young adult series called The Cat Mage Chronicles. I first heard of Meryl via numerous links from Glenn Reynolds, a.k.a. Instapundit, and got to know her better from the political podcast Shire Network News, where we both contributed segments. Because she hit a sales milestone for her book, she thought that she'd come out of podcasting retirement for the SNN crowd and for newcomers to give us another look at the continuing saga of Israeli double standard time.
This is Meryl Urish, and this is On Second Thought. Yes, I'm still here. I've been busy writing other things, like my new young adult fantasy series. But I keep up with the news, especially with the news concerning Israel. Last week, Benjamin Netanyahu stated that there's a double standard to the way the world treats Israel and the way it treats the Palestinians. Oh, don't be absurd. There's no double standard. Just take a look at these two recent incidents. Israel announced plans to build more housing in the E1 section of the West Bank around Jerusalem's largest suburb, Ma'ale Adumim. Those of us who follow the Israel news know that this is the portion of the West Bank that's going to be included in any future peace deal. It's been that way for decades, and even the Palestinians, in private, will admit that they're willing to make a land swap for these suburbs of Jerusalem. After the plans were announced, European nations responded with the following. Israeli diplomats to Britain, France, Denmark, Spain, and Sweden were summoned by their hosts for a dressing down on the settlements issue. Rumor had it that Britain and France were thinking about recalling their ambassadors, but this was later denied. And yet, those rumors made it into Haaretz, so someone was discussing the recall. The European Union released a scathing statement. The EU said it was deeply dismayed by and strongly opposes the construction plans. The EU also said the plan would, quote, seriously undermine the prospects of a negotiated resolution of the conflict, end quote. We're not quite finished. The EU also said, in the light of its core objective of achieving the two-state solution, the EU will closely monitor the situation and its broader implications and act accordingly. Wow. Those are some strong words. Boy, are they ticked at Israel. If they get that mad at Israel building a few houses, just imagine what they're going to say about the Hamas anniversary party. That's where Khalid Mashal said, quote, first of all, Palestine, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, from its north to its south, is our land, our right, and our homeland. There will be no relinquishing or forsaking even an inch or small part of it, end quote. Phew, those are pretty strong words, but not even the worst. He also said, quote, Jerusalem is our eternal capital, to which we hold fast and which we will liberate inch by inch, neighborhood by neighborhood, stone by stone, every place sacred to Islam and every place sacred to Christianity. Israel has no right to Jerusalem. End quote. Wow. I can't wait to hear what the European Union said about that. Ha! If they got all steamed up about a few apartments being built, wait until they get a load of Hamas threatening to destroy Israel. Are you ready for it? Want to hear some scorching language? All right, here we go. Quote, the EU finds inflammatory statements by Hamas leaders that deny Israel's right to exist unacceptable. Ha! I knew they'd... Wait, what? What? What kind of namby-pamby garbage is that? Quote, the EU finds inflammatory statements by Hamas leaders that deny Israel's right to exist unacceptable. Amazing, isn't it? Israel releases plans to build houses, and European nations call in Israeli diplomats to yell at them and release a nasty statement about how strongly the EU opposes such actions. Hamas promises to destroy every inch of Israel, and the EU finds their threats unacceptable. Because everybody knows housing units are the biggest obstacle to peace in the Middle East, not threats to destroy the Jewish nation and all the Jews inside it. The world does have a double standard regarding Israel. No other nation's existence is constantly questioned by its enemies. No other nation is the object of as many United Nations resolutions. No other nation gets the focus of so much media attention over every little action it takes. 40,000 people have been killed in Syria's civil war to date, yet there are no calls to boycott Syrian goods, no rush to Syria to become human shields protecting the rebels, no protest marches throughout Europe and America over the deaths of Syrian civilians. I've been writing about Israel on my blog for over 10 years now, and one of my biggest categories is called Israeli Double Standard Time. But don't worry, it only occurs on days that end with a Y. This is Meryl Urish. Back to you, Doug.
Thanks so much, Meryl. Don't be a stranger. And that's all for this time. Let me know what you think. Call 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280, or email me at considerthis@ctpodcasting.com. I'd love to hear from you. And there you have it, the last episode of the year. I'll see you again in 2013. And over the holidays, if you have any friends that you think might enjoy 10 minutes or less of conservative commentary, let them know about this humble podcast. Tell them that if you only listen to one podcast next year, you should listen to this one as well. Thanks for listening. Have a Merry Christmas, and please return here in January to continue to consider this.